We've got the team together with the opinion and selections. Let's get it started. RSN 927's Saturday panel.
Great to be with you on this Saturday morning. We are racing at Moonee Valley on this Saturday. Nine races. At the moment, it's a good four. Expect an upgrade as the meeting goes on there. And the rail is in at the True. Let's welcome in at the team. And Dean Lester, it's a big hello to you.
A belated Happy New Year to you, Gareth. Welcome back.
Would you do anything for love, Dino?
I wouldn't do that, Gareth.
Yes. Meatloaf, where would he rank in your top 10?
Oh,
would he make the top 10, I should say?
Well, Bad Outta Hell, the album, because it's one of the few albums where I don't change tracks. I listen from start to finish. So,
there you go.
It's one of my very favourite albums.
All right, mate, are you nervous today? Because it's been well publicised listening to RSN 927 this week that you do have a share in the world back favourite in race number 8 in the boat.
Yes, it's a long day ahead waiting to race 8, but looking forward to seeing if he can do it again. He's been fantastic for us so far, and this is the next step up for him.
Can't see Leanne's name in there, Dino.
No, I was very lucky that Jerry included me there.
Okay.
Hopefully that we can get another win today.
All right, mate. Warren Huntley, it's a very good morning to you, mate.
Good morning, Gareth.
How do you expect this track to play at Moonee Valley today? Rail and the True, and we've got, as Cozzy just pointed out, it's going to be hot.
Yeah, I think it will firm up as the day goes on, but it rail true at the Valley when we've got warm conditions. I don't think the wind's going to be much of a factor. So I think, races of sufficient tempo, you'll be able to blend into the race. But I don't think horses riding the speed are going to be disadvantaged at all. So I'm expecting it to play pretty fairly and looking forward to the meeting.
David Gately's running a half marathon or marathon somewhere, I think, up there in Queensland. He's on holidays at the moment. So Nicholas Quinn is stepping in for him. Hello to you, Quinny. Good morning.
Good morning, and on behalf of all the RSN family, Gareth, well done, because all week you declared basically the more you had on Minstrel last night, the more you'd get back. 350 into 210. No one moves those markets like you do in the West, and never in doubt.
I think it just won. I didn't get to watch it last night. I was on a little bit too late, but just won in an entertaining race at Gloucester Park. It's the best harness racing track, I think, to watch harness racing. There was moves from start to finish, but we need to back a winner at Moonee Valley today. And let's start this preview. Nine races. The three-year-olds to do battle in the opening event. No scratchings. Unflinchings at $1.85. The superintendent, Jaddy Hayes, says he'll be having something each way on his three-year-old at $10. Rock Artist at $11. Duchy of Savoy at $2.50. We might hear what young Sam Friedman has to say about Unflinching's chances here in the first race, the odds-on favourite.
Look, he's in good shape. It looks a perfect race for him. The other horse in the race was very impressive at Sandown. So you would think it's probably between the two of them. All his starts now, including tomorrow's race, will have been on tight tracks where it's definitely beneficial to be up on speed. So we'll look to use his pace again, and tomorrow will give us a good guide as to where we head for the rest of the autumn.
Some talented three-year-olds do battle in the first, Dino.
Yeah, I think Sam summed it up pretty well, that it pretty much comes down to Unflinching versus Duchy of Savoy, and it's probably a pretty interesting speed map too, because I think Rock Artist will use barrier one. Unflinching's got good speed. Then you've got Duchy of Savoy, whether she can get a little bit of room when she needs it, because Obsessive Nature's got a degree of speed, and Better Than Flying went for about 400 metres at Sandown and then dropped off. But I would have thought that it just comes down to if she can get the luck in running to run down Unflinching Duchy of Savoy. I think if she does, that she can do. That was an outstanding win first up. It was only a maiden, but she did it well, and I think she can run very well with the 4 kilo swing on Unflinching, but there's not a lot between them. It's real, I think they should be a little bit closer together in the market, and there's not much between them. The superintendent, I just don't know if he's fast enough to pick them up. He'll be running on late, and Rock Artist to 1,000 metres at the Valley from an inside draw is probably his go, might be next best. But it'll be an interesting clash between these two horses and how it plays out. Slight leaning to the filly though for me, Gareth. 5-1, 2-3.
Are you with the colt or the filly here, Warren?
I'm with the colt, but I agree with Dino that it's an intriguing race. But what I like about Unflinching is his runs to date, he can put himself on the speed, maintain a strong gallop, and then quicken the end of those races. So you would think the way the race shapes up, he'll be right there on the speed. As Dino said, better than flying. Went for 400 metres last start. We don't want racing to become elitist, but I don't know if rating 48 maidens should be going around in a benchmark 70 on a Saturday in town. But anyway, better than flying's there. I don't think he'll have any impact on the race. Hopefully he doesn't cause too much trouble when he heads back through the field. On with Unflinching ahead of Duchy of Savoy, who was good winning first up. She's competed at stakes level as a two-year-old. Sometimes that can be a little bit flattering, but gee, I like the way that she won first up when she was able to avoid better than flying and be able to get through the line impressively. Superintendent will be chasing hard, and Rock Artist will be somewhere perhaps just behind that speed, and I've got him as next best. 1-5-2-3.
1-5-2-3 for Warren. When they're looking at the book, they're working out a race for better than flying. surely they would have had a few more other options, Warren.
Well, we run a few maidens in in
just
Victoria,
a couple.
Gareth, and look, I know, you know, maybe some of the KPIs about field sizes, et cetera, come into play. But, yeah, anyway, I don't think it's good for racing, but good luck to Connections.
All right, Nicholas Quinn, what are you thinking here in the first?
Well, I'm thinking that I'm going to lean towards Unflinching purely and simply because I think the Valley circuit will be conducive for Unflinching getting the job done over Duchy of Savoy today. One of those two should win, but I'm with Unflinching. As Warren alluded to, he's shown good speed and can quicken in his first two career victories. Hopefully he can lead if Runaway Flying wants to go like next week's pay, then expect to see Unflinching take a sit just off the lead. Duchy of Savoy broke through at Sandown last start when taking a sit behind the Tearaway leader better than Flying and shapes as a logical danger. For third, I've got the 3, Rock Artist, should get a cosy run from gate 1 and can run into the Minor Money. And the 2, the Superintendent, won at big odds at Sandown last start and is worth including in the multiples. 1, 5, 3, and 2. I'd be very surprised, though, if one of the top two in the market didn't salute.
So Dino's with the filly, Duchy of Savoy, 5, 1, 2, and 3. Warren with Unflinching to remain unbeaten, 1, 5, 2, and 3 for Warren. And Nick Quinn also with the favourite, Unflinching, the 1 from the 5, 3, and 2. The two-year-olds will do battle in race number 2 over the 1,200 metres. Boo Boo Boogie is the scratching there. Bill Bold is a $26 chance. J.D. Hayes says whatever he does today, he'll improve and most likely be gelded after today's effort. Count the Headlights is Dave Eustace's best chance on the card for the Mara and Eustace team at $4.40. The $800,000 colt by him, Invincible. Eros is the $2.30 favourite. Reservoir Dogs on debut at $8.50, and Sumatra, the beautifully bred galloper for the Godolphin team, is kept safe in the market at $3.30 as well here, Warren.
Terrific race, isn't it? Oh, intriguing race with plenty to learn. Only a couple of them have been to the races, and that pedigree that you reference being by Lonro out of Earthquake is a terrific pedigree for the Godolphin filly, and she's going to be worth a lot and no doubt bred from the operation later in her career, but no, it was rain-affected ground at a recent trial at Warwick Farm, but love the way she worked through the line there. And with a lot to learn, as I said, I still think she's there to run well. Love the way she moved through the line. I'm going to go with her on spec. 8 out of 3, Eros, who jumped out nicely going into that debut run, was well back. They put a big gap on the opposition there. I don't think there's any knock on what Eros did on that occasion. Just wasn't able to win as a $1.80 favourite, but it was only a bob of the head on the line. Count the Headlights, strong through the line in a recent jump out at Cranbourne. Gets the blinkers and the tongue tie on for the debut, so perhaps some intent there, and was ridden with a bit of that intent late in that head out. And Reservoir Dogs looks to be ready to go, or Reservoir Dog looks to be ready to go for the Besutton and Young Camp. Was close enough to the speed in a recent jump out. The tongue tie goes on here with the pre-race earmuffs, and Craig knew it from a good draw. You wouldn't think would be giving that draw away early in the race. 8-3-2-5.
Always a fascinating race, Quinny, when you've got some well-bred debutantes going around.
That's exactly right. I've got the 3, Eros, on top, who did everything bar win on debut and looks the one to beat. Sam Friedman explained to the RSN family during the week there was nothing sinister about Jamie Carr taking the ride on Sumatra. Basically, she needed to commit to a ride and she went that way before Eros was a confirmed starter. Expect Eros could lead or take a sit just off the speed and shapes as the one to beat. For second, I've got Count the Headlights. I think this horse has got a bit of value about it in the market as well. I will be saving on Count the Headlights. Had three jump outs. The best of them for mine was on Jan 10. That was the first time we saw this horse wear the blinkers and showed a dramatic improvement after they were applied. The blinkers stay on today, and I expect he'll be sitting off the speed and be strong late. I've got the 5 Reservoir Dog in for third. He's had a couple of jump outs in the lead up to this. The most recent was not asked to do too much over the concluding stages, but kept kicking on the inside and looks to have plenty of upside. And I've got Sumatra in for fourth. On her barrier trial, that was on the soft ground and did need to be asked for a bit of an effort, but did pick up nicely late. I expect she'll be back, so maybe the 1,200 metre valley circuit won't be ideal, but does have to look to have a bright future. So I'll be sticking with Sumatra going forward, win, lose or draw today. But for mine, 3, 2, 5 and 8, I'll be backing the 3 Eros and saving on the 2, Count the Headlights.
Can you work out any theory, say, with Godolphin Dino when they trial horses up there in Sydney then bring them straight here to a Melbourne for a 2-year-old race like what they're doing here with Sumatra?
Well, she was also accepted for today in Sydney, yeah. So they left their options well and truly open. So, no, I've got no real theory on that, but she's a really interesting runner. Looks like she's got plenty of size about her. She just was monstering the horses in the trial. So I'm really interested to see her, but I'm just going to go with the race experience of Eros and a little bit of history repeating. This meeting last year, of course, was run at Sandown, and this 2-year-old race was 1,300 metres, and Mark Zara and the Freedmans combined with Artorias to win it, and Artorias had run second at Geelong on debut. So it's sort of a bit eerie how it's worked out.
It defeated Forbes in the same colours, didn't it, Dino?
No, that was Animo.
Oh, yes. Yes, still on my mind, yep.
Yep, but Eros, I just think with the race experience and he's got that degree of tactical speed, and I think he can run well. Count the Headlights, looks a really nice horse, and I think he's certainly the danger. He looks, with every gallop, he gets a little bit better, and I like that in a 2-year-old, and especially that they've applied the gear changes, etc. with him. 8, Sumatra, looks a really nice filly, as we've mentioned, and the other one is 9, Hoops, who I thought had been ridden patiently in its trials and then raced down the straight and probably raced too close to the speed and came off the bit way too early. I think off a quiet ride, even though it's drawn 1, if it's ridden a bit quieter, it could run a lot better than its first up run would suggest. But I'm going with Eros, 3, 2, 8 and 9.
There's Dino's numbers in the 2-year-old, 3, 2, 8 and 9. Warren Huntley's with the 8 from the 3, 2 and 5. And Nicholas Quinn with the 3, Eros, over the 2, 5 and 8. It's 8:16. This is the Melbourne Form Panel as we preview the Moonee Valley meeting on this Saturday. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back and have a look at races 3, 4 and 5.
Opinion and selections for today's Melbourne racing. RSN 927's Saturday panel.
And I would do anything for love. Oh, I would do anything for love.
Bit of Meatloaf there. We lost a great man yesterday. So we'll pay tribute to Meatloaf as we go through the Melbourne Form Panel in this meeting at Moonee Valley. It's 19 minutes past 8. Don't forget the Interstate Hour coming up after 9 o'clock. Brad Davison from Sky Racing will be joining me to preview the Randwick meeting. We're up to the third race, however, here at Moonee Valley. And it's for the stays. The scratchings are clear. Philip Stokes will play a major part here with two of the favourites. Good Ideas definitely knocking on the door. He's at $3.90. In a Twinkling for Lindsay Smith and Jared Fry at $7. Starcaster has had support at $4.80. DeChant Sweet Jr. for Jamie Carr and Philip Stokes is the favourite at $2.40. And Guns Are Blazing. Ashiagi gave him a good push this morning with no weight on his back. He's a $12 chance here in the third race, Nicholas Quinn. What are you thinking here with the stays?
I'm anticipating punters will need to shoot pretty straight in the first half of the program, and I've got another market leader on top here in Dying Sweet Jr., who's working through the grades really nicely and looks even better placed stepping up to the 2,500 metres. The former Kiwi won well at Caulfield on Boxing Day following wins at Pakenham and Moonee Valley, and happy to be on him as one of the better bets on the program. For second, I've got number 1, Good Idea. Hasn't won since claiming last year's Adelaide Cup. But his last 3 runs once getting up over trip have been full of merit, including a 2nd in the Pakenham Cup and a 4th in the Bagot. That sort of form must be respected for a race like this. Number 3, Starcaster. He's a challenging horse who has got his quirks, but when he puts it together, he can be very good. We've seen that a few times recently, including a pretty strong win in the Benalla Cup. And for fourth, number seven, Guns Are Blazing, who will stay all day. But Dyckman Sweet Jr., more upside for me and should win again. My numbers here, 5, 1, 3, and 7.
Have you got Starcaster in front here, Dino?
Yeah, I would do, Gareth. I think he'll lead, but In a Twinkling will use Barrier 1 and Good Idea won't be far away. So yeah, they'll roll along at a nice speed. And Darshan Sweet Jr. might have to come from near the back of the field, but I think he can, and I think he's the horse with upside in this field, and getting out to the longer trip will suit, and I think he can probably win again and beat his stablemate Good Idea, who's in good form. He's pretty reliable in these races, and especially when they roll along at a good speed. In a Twinkling, looking to get to this sort of trip again now. He's been running okay over the shorter trips for Lindsay Smith. He'll be competitive. And Starcaster, who, he just depends how he paces himself. If he gets the tempo right, he's hard to beat because he has won around the valley here and he's obviously won a couple of country cups, but he can get it wrong sometimes as well. But it's all up to him in the first half of the race. But I think Darshan Sweet Jr. can win again. 5, 1, 2, 3.
Are you with the Philip Stokes train stays as well here, Warren?
Yeah, we're seeing the race quite similarly, the three of us, Gareth. Hasn't been winning by big margins, Darshan Sweet Jr., but he's shown that great will to win and gives every impression that the rising distance here will suit. He's got round the valley well, and it'll be run at a reasonable tempo. So it should be a race where there's, you know, not too many hard luck stories, you wouldn't think, with a reasonable tempo and not a huge field size. And I think that'll allow Darshan Sweet Jr. to blend into the race at the right time. And I'm with him also. Good ideas dropping back from stakes level, and he's proven in this grade, whereas his stable mate's taking the rising grade, but it's a really good weight advantage and looks to be still on the up. Starcaster should give a sight riding the speed. He's won a couple of times around here with a couple of other placings. So in general, he gets around the valley all right, and Linda Meach has had some good experience on him in recent times. In a Twinkling, next best for me. 5, 1, 3, 2.
5, 1, 3, and 2 there for Warren. We've got 5, 1, 2, and 3 for Dino in the staying race, and 5, 1, 3, and 7 for Nicholas Quinn in the third. Race number 4, benchmark 70, and it's also over the 2,500 metres. Savings had some good support at $4. Salto Angel at $5. Coupe Donaire is at $8.50 chance for Matt Kamani and Jamie Carr. Lost Impact at $3.80. Swelter Magic at $9.50. And Wellsford is a $7.50 chance here, Dino.
Yeah, it's an interesting race, and I think it will be run at a pretty good speed with Swelter Magic and Saving involved. And that's totally in contrast to the race that was run at Caulfield a couple of weeks ago where they crawled and just dashed home. And I don't think it's suited number 3, Coup de Tonnerre, but I think a different race structure today, Jamie Carr to ride. And I just think a patient ride off the back of a good speed, Coup de Tonnerre could turn his form around very sharply here. And I'm going to go with him at each way odds. Saving is just going really well. It was a very smart ride by Thomas Stockdale. He stopped and started the tempo to win last start. And 2,500 metres back in trip here, but not holding any fears. And I think the tight tracks are the real key to him. He was a little bit exposed at Sandown, but back to the valley, he scoots around the bends well there, and he'll run well again. Lost Impact, the key to her is getting galloping room. She keeps drawing barrier one. She drew one and was scratched last week, and she's come up with one again. But she runs, and if she gets the room at the right time, as she proved two starts back, she can really go in these sort of staying races, and she can run well. And Wellsford, if it becomes a real race of attrition, he might be the one slogging home. He's 42 days between runs, and he was scratched from New Year's Eve at Moonee Valley, so whether he had a little setback would be the query, but he is a good grinder in these sort of races and might be next best. But I thought Coup de Tonnerre was a little bit over the odds here, Gareth. 3, 1, 4, and 7.
All right, with Lost Impact, Dino, was it really good at the Valley and then at Flemington? Was it just the excuse where she didn't get her own way there?
Yeah, she had enough room, but I just don't think she likes horses on her outside. And,
okay.
And she keeps she's drawn barrier 1, 3 of her last four, and scratch from one. And the one day she did get a bit of room and got to the outside of them, she won well.
Might just miss the kick and go back to last and go around them today.
Who knows? It is one of Lindsay's.
Warren Huntley, what are you doing here?
I'm thinking that the drop back from 3,000 metres won't be a disadvantage for Saving, and probably the way the race sets up, with perhaps Swelter Magic and Saving controlling the tempo, it gives Tom Stockdale options to make it a real test from a fair way out, and that won't be a problem for Saving, who's got that win of 3,000 metres round the valley here at his most recent win. So, look, he's climbing up in the weights, and for a Saturday benchmark 70, I think it's a strong race, but I think Saving's going really well, and I've got him on top. Welsford's also going well. He gets round the valley okay. Ideally, I'd probably prefer him in a 3,000-metre race here, but I think he's going well, and he's building to a win sometime this preparation. Coup de Tonnerre wasn't suited, as Dino outlined, with just the modest tempo on the dash home last start. Gets a visor on here, and four Lost Impact. Hopefully, Alana Kelly can find a way to get that clear galloping room, because that's what she needs. But from an inside draw, she's probably going to take a little bit of a creative ride, but over 2,500, they might spread out a little bit with perhaps Swelter Magic and Saving running them along. 1-7-3-4.
Your tips here in the fourth, Quinny?
I said pretty similar to the guys. I've got Saving on top, employed the catch me if you can tactics last start. They couldn't, and hoping that will happen again today. For second, Lost Impact, bolted into the valley two starts ago, winning by 6 lengths. But again, as Dino alluded to and Warren alluded to, the inside draw will be the negative here. So I'm not quite sure what they're going to do to avoid the fact the horse does not like horses there on the outside. The third, the two, Salto Angel, finally broke the maiden at Werribee two starts ago and has good form over ground. The negative is obviously one win from 15 career starts, but she has finished in the top three, 9 of 16, and should again get a slice of the minor money. And number seven, Welsford's been racing in terrific form this campaign and is worth including in the multiples. But my numbers here, 1, 4, 2 and 7.
So Dino's numbers in the 4, 3, 1, 4 and 7. Warren's numbers, 1, 7, 3 and 4. And Quinny's with the 1 over the 4, 2 and 7. Race 5 is over the 1,000 metres of benchmark 78. Scratchings are clear. We've got Yule on Command, the strong favourite at 225. Tom Sadler gave Sam's image as he was jumping over the hurdles this morning at Good Each Way Hope at $6.50. Ken Key is happy with Winsome at $3.10. It's the clear second pick. And then we go to the last Napoleon at $11. Let's hear once again from Sam Freeman to see what he has to say about Yule on Command's chances.
Yeah, expect him to be very hard to beat. He's he's had a tick over jump out between runs. We pulled him out a couple of weeks ago. He was in 1100 and there was a lot of speed in the race. I think we pulled the right rein. He's in terrific order. The horse looks well, goes well at the valley, and you know what you're going to get from him. So probably of the three we've got there, he'd be the one that you'd be pretty sure he's going to go very close.
So that's a good push from Sam Freeman there with Yule on Command. Warren, do you have him out in front?
Look, I would think so. Grandview Avenue, and you can tie the form through pretty easily through Scorched Earth, who they both clashed with at their last start. They both ran along at similar speeds there, but that was to the detriment of Grand Avenue. He wasn't capable of absorbing that speed and then being able to finish off, whereas Yule on Command was only grabbed late by Scorched Earth. So if it comes down to an arm wrestle, I'd be more inclined to think Yule on Command would win that. Sam's image mightn't have to get too far away. More interested in a late gear change too. Gareth had came in with Sam's image yesterday. He'll race with pads and Equicast in front. Came through just before lunchtime yesterday. So it's an interesting gear change and worth noting because it won't appear in a lot of form guides because it was only notified yesterday when a lot of the form guides would have been published. So not a gear change on an improving track that you necessarily like to see, but Sam's image has got round the valley okay previously. I think this is just a terrific race for Yule on Command. I agree with everything Sam Freeman said. And he loves getting around the valley. He's had four starts here for 3 wins and a second. He looks to me to get control of this race. If they want to go too hard on Grandview Avenue, then I think Matty Cartwright will just allow that to happen and then be too strong late. His jump out between runs at tick over that Sam Freeman referenced was just a terrific piece of work, and he stands out to me on the program too clearly. He had a 5 winsome, keeping him fresh, and at 1,000 metres looks to be his forte at this stage of his career. He was terrific at Pakenham, winning there on Cup Day, been kept fresh since then leading into this. The last Napoleon, it'll appreciate that the horse is running along up front. He'll have to do some strong work late, probably comes with that sweeping run, but he'll be hitting the line hard. With that gear change on Sam's image, I'm actually putting Pravro in as next best. I know that if he's heading to the races, Sam's image, then the team are thinking he's okay, but just not the type of late gear change that I'm that enamoured with. 2, 5, 7 and 8.
Quinny, what are you doing here? Are you with Yule on Command as one of the better bets on the program, or are you taking on this favourite?
very keen on the favourite. He has been 260 into 225, and I think we'll start even shorter than the 225. Loves the Valley. Four attempts for three wins and a narrow defeat to Curran. And looks the likely leader, but we did see this horse sit off the speed when running down off DeWar in October 22 at the Valley. So can be versatile here. Ticks every box and looks the one to beat. The five Winsome, the obvious danger. He's 3 from 3 over the 1,000-metre trip and does look nice and progressive. For third, I've got number 6, Mr. Yushu. Freshened since winning at Sandown and down in the weights after the claim. Will get back. And if they go hard up front, could be a bit of a danger late, but certainly can get into the money. And Grandview Avenue there in for fourth. Back to the Valley where he's a two-time winner and expected improved performance today. But I think a lot of experts and punters across the country will be with Yule on Command today, and I'm certainly in that category.
Are you Dino?
I certainly am, Gareth. I think he's a good favourite. I think he'll probably maybe sit outside Grandview Avenue. They seem to have a one-dimension attitude with him now, Grandview Avenue, to just ride him at his top, and he might just sit outside him, take over on straightening and hold the rest off. I think he'll win Yulong Command. I think the old boy Pravro's going really well. He dropped 7 kilos on his last run. He gets around the Valley well. He's only won here once, but he's run a lot of good races. The small field suits him. I think he's a little bit of value for the Quinella. 5, Winsome. He won okay at Pakenham. It's been a few weeks ago now, so the figures out of that race weren't great, but he got the job done. He goes up 3 kilos for winning that race, and Mr. Yushu's going to be at the back. He'll be probably find this too short, but he'll be steaming home late, might be next best. But no, I think he's one of the good favourites of the day, one of the good bets of the day, Gareth. Yulong Command, 2 from 8, 5 and 6.
So there's Dino's numbers, 2, 8, 5 and 6 in race 5, 2, 5, 7 and 8 for Warren Huntley. And Quinny's also keen on Yulong Command, and so is Sam Friedman. So he ticks a lot of boxes. Yulong Command today, 2, 5, 6 and 1. It's 8:33. We'll take a break here. This is the Melbourne Form Panel as we preview Moonee Valley, and we'll come back and have a look at the Quaddie Legs.
Opinion and selections for today's Melbourne racing. RSN 927's Saturday Panel.
What a good four at Moonee Valley this afternoon. The rail's in the Truett. It's a 9-race program. And we're up to race number 6, which is the first leg of the quaddie here with the Melbourne Form Panel team, Dean Lester, Warren Huntley, Nicholas Quinn and Gareth Hall with you. And let's have a look at race number 6. There's a couple of scratchings here. Take out the 2, 3 and 4 Pence and also the 5 at Mr. Moppet. The favourite here, well, we've got Deep Dive, the 1 at $10 for the Freedmans. Al Burke knocking on the door, but he's been knocking on the door most of his career, is at $9. Rogue Star at $10. Andrew Noblet gave that galloper a good push today, the son of Wanted. Murray Menko out to $4. It was about $3.80 this morning. And Sharp Response is at $3.30. Invincible Jet, the 10, is at $7.50. And Adrian Bott gave that horse a good enough push this morning as well. But let's hear from Julius Sandu, because he trains the 3-year-old taking on the older horses here in Sharp Response.
Is if he goes into that race and runs, reproduces the run that he had at Flemington, he's probably in it right up into his ears. And he's come through the race well. There was a bit of improvement on the back of that Devil run. So, you know, all things are suggesting to the fact that he's going to go to that race and be really competitive. And, you know, hopefully that's the case tomorrow.
Are you with his 3-year-old Nicholas Quinn?
I've got the horse in my numbers, Gareth, but I've got the Toppy Deep Dive on top, who was not far away behind in the boat last start, and hopefully that form will look even stronger later on in the day. He's twice won over the 1,200 metres and looks a good value play on what could be a big day for the Freedman stable. For second, I've got the 9, Maramenko, resumes after a fruitful campaign and jumped out well at Werribee recently without setting the world on fire, but I'm really keen to monitor the betting late with him, as I wouldn't be stunned if he takes improvement from today, and the late market might just give us a bit of a guide in that department. For third, number 4, Elberg, I concede he's better at Flemington and I concede he doesn't win out of turn, but once again can get into the minor money, and there was lots to like about the win of Sharp Response last time out. I beg your pardon, the run of Sharp Response last time out. Terrific mid-race sectionals in what should be a really good form race from that Flemington program. So in the hunt for sure, taking on the older horses. I'm going to go a little bit wider in the quaddie, though. I don't think the winning chances end there. We'll give the quaddie at the end of the segment. From an each-way perspective, though, I've got Deep Dive on top. My numbers 1, 9, 4 and 11.
What's your speed map look like here, Dino?
Gareth, I'm thinking that Deep Dive, Invincible Jet, Barriers 1 and 3 are probably your leaders from Maramenko, Rogue Star. National Choice might press on from out wider. I'm not sure there how they'll ride him. And it's going to take a good ride from Bo Mertens on Sharp Response because he might be in an awkward spot. But I think he's got the right horse underneath him. I think he's a really smart horse. I thought that maybe the trip would be too short for him first up, but he ran so very well, and I think that form through Clemenceau is, you know, really strong. Squid Game third, and I'm trusting that form that the three-year-olds are well up to a race like this, and he can run very well. I think the dangers are Maramenko, who did very little wrong for the Hawks team last preparation. He looks to have had a couple of typical Hawks trained trials, ready to go first up. I think Invincible Jet's been chasing a very fast speed of late behind in the boat. Mightn't be quite as strong a tempo here, and he'll be outside the lead at Deep Dive, and he'll probably just grind away at that horse, and I think he's got a winning chance also, Invincible Jet. And I've put in Rogue Star, who was really well ridden to win here on New Year's Eve, ducked through on the inside, but from barrier two, he's going to get a similar run again, and he's got some hope. But no, I'm with the three-year-old. He'll just need a good ride from a little bit of a tricky draw. 11, 9, 10, and 6.
Geez, I'm enjoying the story of Julius Sandu, Dino.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
These horses, they come to play. They race up on the pace. They're fit first up. They're ready to go. They're well educated, as you saw last week with the two-year-old winning. So he's winning all variety of races and really, really emerging.
Are you with Sharp Response here, Warren?
I am, Gareth. And just a note's come through from the previous race, a late scratching of Mr. Yushu. So sometime between now and the end of the program, I think both Dino and Nick Quinn had number six, Mr. Yushu, in their numbers. So unfortunately, he's just come out as a late scratching. And in this race, I am with Sharp Response, and the Julius Sandu's story is a terrific story, and great to see Bo Mertens back in the saddle. He's a big part of Julius's team. He had injury-forced layoff from early December through to Thursday night at Pakenham, so good to have Bo back in the saddle, and I think the form through that race was very good at Flemington. Clemenceau winning that Squid Game form line, and I do think that he's the one to beat, 11 ahead of 9. Maramenko, who looks progressive, his jumps out have been what you'd expect from Team Hawks. Invincible Jet went for a gallop at the Valley earlier in the week. Great that the Valley accommodate trainers and connections that would like to have a little bit of a familiarisation with the circuit. Great that they film it. I thought he was really good through the line in his work there. And if you get on the YouTube channel for Moonee Valley Racing Club, if you want to have a look at the gallops from earlier in the week, it's a really good service that they provide. Although Albert's known as you wouldn't say he's known as a straight track winner, but he's effective down the straight. He has been placed a couple of times here. There was good support and at least a glimmer of hope that there's something left in the tank for Albert with his improved performance last start. 11, 9, 10, 4.
So Dano's with the 11 from the 9, 10 and 6. 11 at 9, 10 and 4 for Warren Huntley, and 1, 9, 4 and 11 for Nicholas Quinn in the first leg of the quaddy. Race number 7 is the Benchmark 84 over the 1,500 metres, and you can scratch the 5, Surreal Image, and also the 11, New Choice. Le Bol's an $18 chance first up from a break. We've got Neighbourhood at $14. The favourites, Fundraiser, second up from a break, and JD Hayes gave this horse a really good push this morning. It's at $3.30. High and Dry is an $8 hope. Then we have Garen Piero at $12 for Lindsay Smith. Galactic Fury at $7.50. And Unanimous is at $3.40 here, Dean. How have you sorted out this contest?
Well, it's interesting, Gareth. Look, I'm very keen on Fundraiser, and I thought, well, he'll land third in the run here, get a pretty cosy run behind Surreal Image and New Choice, and they're the two scratchings. So it's amazing how scratchings can change the dynamics of a race. And I still think he's the one to beat. He might have to nearly take it up himself. The way it looks, the lead is certainly up for grabs now that those two are scratched. So I think if Unanimous began cleanly, he could be right up there. But they just look as though they're a bit of a group there. A lot of these horses like to race midfieldish. So I think if he takes it up Fundraiser, he'll take a lot of running down. He's the one to beat. Galactic Fury with the big weight drop, he's going well. As Dave Eustace explains, he needs everything to go right, but he's run quite well here in a better grade when he ran in the Super Vobis Gold Race here back during the Spring Carnival. So put him in for second, 12 unanimous for third, and I've put in Le Bol, so it's virtually the Hayes stable holding off a brace of Ma Eustace runners. They've got three in the race, and I think they'll all be very competitive. Le Bol's trial quite nicely leading into this next best, but four to win from 10, 12, and 1.
Warren?
I'm with Fundraiser here, Gareth, but he is second up and getting to 1,500 metres. I think it was not to be missed. They didn't want to run against last weekend, and Tuvalu they dodged during the week, so they're obviously happy with the opposition that they're lining up against here today to leave him in. It's probably due to go back to the races, but yeah, 1,500 metres second up, but it made him a horse to follow on correct weight from that run first up, and look, I think he strikes a suitable race. Earmuffs come off, a Norton bitten pacifiers go on, but he was terrific in what I think will be a good form race, and he ran well, might have just peaked on his run first up. Four for me, ahead of 12 unanimous. I think coming back to the 1,500 metres could be positive. Was held up a touch a home straight at Flemington last start, but when he got clear, he just held his ground, and I think Gracias Amigo was probably going as well, if not better than him on the line. Six, High and Dry's continuing to race well for the stable. The lack of tempo in the race that Dino outlined with the scratchings probably doesn't work in his favour, so Matty Cartwright will have to try and blend into the race, maybe three wide with cover and launch the turn into the home straight to build momentum rather than waiting for them to crank it up front. 10, Galactic Fury, next best for me. 4, 12, 6, 10.
And Quinny, what are you doing here in the second leg of the quad? Are you also with Fundraiser?
Yes, I am. I think there are only two winning chances. This is my trim-up leg of the quaddy. I've got Fundraiser on top, and I'm hoping they do lead because the horse has got a couple of quirks and there's now not a heap of speed in the race. So hopefully they go forward, gives a kick, and makes it a good result for favoured backers. As the guys alluded to, was scratched from two other races during the course of the week in preference for this, which is a good tick. So I'm hoping can get the job done. I've got Unanimous in for second. As Warren said, was held up and then on face value, had every chance to win last start. But I just think this is a horse that needs to build momentum, and we probably haven't seen that the last two outings. So hopefully today, with clear galloping room, can go through the gears and have every chance late. For third, number 10, Galactic Fury, won well at Mornington, down in the weights and should get into the minor money. And High and Dry will be back, but can be strong late. My numbers 4, 12, 10 and 6, but just the two winning chances from a quaddie perspective for mine.
All right, then 4, 10, 12 and 1 there for Dino. 4, 12, 6 and 10 for Warren, and 4, 12, 10 and 6 for Quinny there in race number 7. It's a quarter to 9. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with the final two races at Moonee Valley, plus the team's best bets and their quaddies.
Opinion and selections for today's Melbourne racing. RSN 927's Saturday panel.
Oh, we're going to miss Meatloaf. That's one of his best. I think it was his best, Dino. And I reckon you would have dominated Bat Out of Hell at karaoke.
No, I haven't tried that, Gareth, to be honest. But it certainly is. And didn't get a lot of airplay on the radio at the time because it went for 9 minutes. So
Meatloaf, we're going to miss him. There's no doubt about that. Now, in the boats at $2.80 here, Dino, and it's a solid favourite in the eighth race. Scratchings are clear. You've got Curran at $9 stepping up to the 1,200 metres off a bit of a freshen up. Then we go down to Exeter that's kept safe at $18. Pioneer River. Dave Eustace just a little concerned how this horse will go around Moonee Valley after his really good form down the straight there at Flemington. He's a $7.50 chance. Great Leveller at $12. In the Boat's been well supported at $2.80. Sacred Palace, another one for Lindsay Smith at $9.50. And Fluorescent Star, Ashaki gave her a good push down in the weights at $13 here, Dino.
Yeah, well, he's going to lead in the boat, I'd imagine, and that's his style. He'll run long, and he's going to, I think, take a lot of running down again. It's the next step up to benchmark 84 grade. He gets a bit of weight relief, 3 kilos, and I think he'll run well. I think the horse that's making as good a progression as him is Pioneer River, and I think he's the danger and certainly wouldn't want to lose on the race if he won. He's good odds, I think, Pioneer River. I think they should be a bit closer together. He's been winning at Flemington, but he's raced well at Moonee Valley, and I think he's just drawn for a great run, and every run for the May Eustace stable's been progressive. Curran's just got a bit of a messy draw, but he's well graded in this company, and interesting listening to Lynn Tolson speak about the little issues they've had with him, and if they've cleaned up, well, certainly he's right in the race here. And Exeter's last three wins have been at this track and distance. He had no luck last start. He just missed a run when it presented at Caulfield last time out and had to check out of it, and it was a forgive run. He's got the wide draw, but he'll probably press on. Might end up sitting second, but he's racing well for this sort of race. It's a good competitive race, but I think in the Boat and Pioneer River, the key chances, 11, 8, 1 and 6.
Lindsay Smith's messages to the owners would be a little bit, I guess they would be different, but entertaining, Dino. Was he up and about this morning?
I haven't got one from this morning. I got one yesterday, and he'd taken the horse for a swim, and we were all very happy, and everything looked right to go. No, they are very entertaining. Had one the other day, Gareth, yes. Ran fifth, and he said, all I can say about this horse is it's a boring horse.
Yeah, we should play them out. In fact, instead of interviewing Lindsay, just get his messages to the owners, Warren. It's like, go to you. Are you with Dino and Lindsay and the team there, Jerry Ryan, within the boat?
He's an easy horse to align yourself with, isn't he, Gareth? Because he puts himself out there, he makes his own luck, and he runs along at reasonable time, and he can maintain a gallop. So, look, he's been well placed, I would think, and picking the right races at the right distance for him. I think it's a positive that Alana Kelly and him seemed to gel so well last start from that wider draw and just doing things gradually at Caulfield. There might have to be a little bit more urgency here at the Valley from the 1,200-metre start, but I think he's the one to beat. 11 for me ahead of 1, Curran, who'll appreciate getting out to 1,200 metres and will be strong late. The 6, Exeter, as Dean outlined, had no luck at all last start. That's the race that produced It's Our Time, who ran so well in the Standish last week, and very effective at Moonee Valley is Exeter. And I thought 8, Pioneer River. I think he's just going really well now. He'd always been a talented horse early in his career. He has clicked down the straight, but he's also clicked with Josh Richards, and his Moonee Valley form's good enough. I think he's a must include. I think he's racing really well for the new stable. 11, 1, 6 and 8.
Have you analysed this eighth race here at the Valley, Quinny?
I'd like to start by apologising to Dean Lester and then go on and tip a Lindsay Smith Quinella. I've got number 11 in the boat on top. He followed a nice warnable victory with two really impressive Caulfield wins and again shapes as the one to beat. First time at the Valley, but I think his racing style with conducive for the track. Up on speed and hopefully very hard to get past. Number 13, Sacred Palace, stablemate to the favourite. Beaten at a short quite when resuming, but has plenty of upside, will be back, but I anticipate will be strong late. So if they're coming at in the boat, then Sacred Palace could be leading that charge. Must include the toppy Curran. We know he's been a little bit all over the shop this preparation. There have been genuine excuses, though, but back to 1,200 metres, where he's finished in the top two four times from six attempts, and he's won his only ever other start at Moonee Valley, so must be respected. And the 8 Pioneer River has been racing well at Flemington with those last two victories. Is without a win in three runs at the Valley, but worth including in the wider multiples. But I'm on the boat, I'm in the boat, and I'm going 11, 13, 1 and 8.
So Dana's with the 11, 8, 1 and 6. Warren also with the 11 in the boat over the 1, 6 and 8. And Quinny's with the well-back favourite as well in the boat, the 11 from the 13, 1 and 8. Race 9 is a benchmark 70 for the mares over the 1,200 metres. You can scratch the 3, 6 and 12. We've got Galgani at $11 the one. Maria Mia was so impressive last time she was at Moonee Valley over the 1,200 metres. She's at $4.80. Gloves are off at $7. And Kim Hahn gave her a good push this morning. Way to go, Paula, at $6. Estoril Park at $4.60. And Patrika Gold next best. One nicely on debut, this four-year-old mare by Poussant Stallone is a $4 chance here. What are you thinking, Dino?
Gareth, I'm thinking it's a pretty even race to finish, one of the probably harder races of the day. I'm going to go with Maria Mia. I think back to where she was so brilliant, three starts back, 1,200 at the Valley, and then went to 1,400 twice. So I'm very forgiving of those runs. Using the inside draw, hoping the inside's the place still to be, still going well by the end of the day. I'm with her. Patrika Gold wasn't impressive maiden win, and backed as if she would win. She's giving away experience here, and this is a harder race, but she's obviously a talent, and Mitch Friedman doesn't rush them to town on a whim, so I would imagine that she's well up to a race like this. Estoril Park has been racing well, just needs another win on the board, but she's running well. She's going to get a beautiful run from the draw, and Gelgani, I think, has trialled up really well. Very rarely runs a poor race. She's been in the top 3, 11 of her 16, and her recent trials would suggest she's come back maybe even better than ever. I'm putting Gloves Are Off in the quaddy as well. 2, 11, 10, and 1.
Warren Huntley, it's an interesting race. I think Way to Go Paula. Philip Stokes is just hoping, going back to a shorter trip and freshening her up, can see her do what she did first up this campaign.
Yeah, had a relationship with Paula going back a while ago now, but
divorced.
Unfortunately, we've decided to go our separate ways. So if that works, good luck to Rosemont and the connections. But I thought Way to Go Paula's been in a few races where she looked like she was there to run very well, and for me she's been a touch disappointing. Maybe back in trip can suit her, but I want to see her do it rather than align myself with her. Maria Mia's had those two runs at 1400 metres in a freshen up, and although I don't know if it's absolutely her pet trip, there was nothing wrong with her runs at that trip. Good residual fitness dropping back to the 1200 metres here, and she ran 1:09.39 winning here. The track record at the Valley's 1:08.76, so only 0.6 outside the track record when she won that night meeting here over the 1200 metres. And yeah, I think a little bit of time between runs, back to the scene of that crime, she's going to be hard to beat here. 2 out of 11, Patrika Gold, significant rise in grade, but Mitch Friedman stable are really hitting the mark quite a bit of late. As Dino said, he doesn't often jump horses in grade too quickly after maiden victories. I think Ocean Beyond was able to win a stakes race here at the Valley following a maiden victory. So he picks his mark when he really puts horses to the sword from a ratings point of view, and she was heavily back to win on debut. Estoril Park's going well. No real excuses in a bunch finish last start. It's the claim here. And I thought Hamslot, if there's reasonable tempo up front, she might be looking for further. Interesting that Andrew Noblett commented to you that kept her fresh for this. I thought she really worked through the line well. Ideally, perhaps suited over a bit more ground, but she can watch it all unfold from that draw. If she gets the breaks late, she'll be really strong to the line. 2:11, 10, 9.
Quinny on RSN Central on Thursday with our game plan. You made Maria Mee your D-Day horse.
And hopefully today is the day for her. And I'm a little bit more up and about after the other two gents have tipped her on top as well. But she's racing much better than her record of one win from her past 16 career starts suggests. She produced that career best performance last time we saw her at the Valley, winning by 7 lengths. She was heavily backed at Sandown last start and looked under siege at about the 200 metre mark, but stuck on tenaciously to only go down by a length and a half. Back to the Valley, it's certainly no disadvantage to be up on speed. I'm going to back her 1 unit the win, 4 units the place. I think she'll be in the finish, but we can probably play it that way to be a little bit more conservative. For second, I've got the 11, Patrika Gold, who couldn't have done any more than she did when winning on debut at Terang. This is a big step up in grade, but must be respected. The 10, Estoril Park, fifth run back this campaign, has been around the money, and today could be the day. And for fourth at longer odds, number 9, Hamslot, resumed from a spell by working home from near last to run second and should again be hitting the line strongly at odds. But Maria Mia, this is the day, hopefully, for her. My numbers to end the day, 2, 11, 10, and 9.
So Dino likes the 2, 11, 10, and 1 in the last race. 2, 11, 10, and 9 for Warren, and the same numbers there for 22, 11, 10, and 9. Okay, Dino, your best bet? Maybe a value, quaddy, and of course, Leanne's multi for this Saturday.
My best, Gareth, is Fundraiser, race 7, number 4. But hot on his heels is Yulon Command, and that's my play of the day. Race 5, number 2, into race 7, number 4. The best value, race 4, number 3, Coup de Tonnerre. And the quaddy, first leg, 9, 10, and 11. Second leg, 4, 10, and 12. Third leg, 1, 6, 8, and 11, and come home on 1, 2, 7, 10, and 11. And what was my other job?
The multi, please.
We're going wide today. We're going to Doomben, race 1, Pomard, and Gawler, race 4, Kelikar. The multi was around the $20 mark, so a bit of value there, Gareth.
She goes everywhere, Leanne. Dino, she... I reckon she should be the replacement for Tony Brassel with all the meetings that she does.
They're very good friends, so yep. Yeah, she's probably learned off the best.
And have you got anything out wide for us, Dino?
I haven't, Gareth. Ascot being called off is a bit of a blow, so... Yep.
We got Monday to look forward to anyway.
That's it.
Yep.
Exactly.
All right, you're a beautiful man. Enjoy your day.
Thank you, Gareth.
It's Dean Lester there. Warren Huntley, your best, please, and also a quaddy.
Yeah, we're going to have to shoot straight today, Gareth. I thought at a backable price, race 5, number 2, Yulong Command, was the best. Quaddy first leg for me, numbers 9, 10 and 11. 4, 6 and 12 in the second leg. 1, 6, 8, 11 in the third leg. Home with numbers 2, 9, 10 and 11.
1, 6, 8, 11 in the third leg, is that right, Warren?
1, 6, 8, 11 in the third, and with numbers 2, 9, 10 and 11.
2, 9, 10 and 11. Correct weight, looking forward to that tomorrow morning.
Absolutely, Gareth. 8 o'clock, we'll be hitting the airwaves, and Dino and Brendan from 9 o'clock looking back on races around Australia. We'll certainly touch on that big Karaka Millions program at Ellerslie that's being held with a nice little boutique card this afternoon also.
Yep, never miss it. I think Michael Guerin as well is joining the race day morning team live from Auckland for their big day of racing there. Good on you, Warren.
Thanks, Gareth.
Nicholas Quinn, your best bets, please, in a quaddie.
Got two specials today, race 3, number 5, Dine Sweet Jr., and then race 5, number 2, Yulong Command. My best value, hopefully Deep Dive can get the job done on an each-way basis and get the job up and running there for the quaddie as well. That's race 6, number 1. And my quaddie, this will be $100 for 39.68%. First leg, 1, 4, 6, 9, 10, 11. Second leg, 4 and 12. Third leg, 1, 11, 13. And then we come home with 1, 2, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So hopefully we can get a bit of a result there in the first and last legs and shoot straight through the middle part of the day. But it does look a very good day at the Valley for favoured backers.
Good on you, Quinny. Thanks for that. Enjoy your day.
Thank you, Gareth.
It's a minute past 9. The news is now ready to go with Johnny Bowden. Then it's our interstate hour. Kicking off with our preview of Randwick with Brad Davis, and straight after the news with John Bowden.